have for you, so I'm sorry. That's we use it all up there. Thank you, everybody, for coming in. I'm just curious, who was in the previous session that I taught this yesterday? Is any repeat offenders? Okay, good. That shows good judgment. So that's if those of you who are just here out of morbid curiosity, that's okay. I'm fine with that. But today we're going to be talking about a strategic approach to managing rentals, obviously creating a time-wealthy advantage to run any business. Did you notice out there? Any business, right? Because several of you, probably most of you, have an interest in not just one business, but several businesses, right? Is there anybody in here who has lots of ideas in the shower? Right? To the point where your spouse or significant other is like, you are not taking any more showers. Because it's like every time you come out, you're like, honey, we're going in the oil business. Like, no, we're not. No, we're not, right? So maybe some of you can relate to that. The good news is this room is really, really hot. Right? And it's what? We're day 3, day 37. How long is this conference anyway? Is anybody waking up this morning and go, am I ever going to see my loved ones again? Like, do I, right? Well, obviously it's day 3, the end of the day. I know it's warm. I know it's 10 to sleepy. I promise you this is not going to be that kind of presentation. So I'm going to be looking for more engagement than anything else. But let me ask you, and let me see some hands. How many of you would like to have complete and total control of your calendar where you can do what you want, when you want, with whom you want, for however long you want? Let me see hands. Come on, good and high. Say, heck yeah. Heck yeah. Oh, that's not going to work, guys. Hold on. Let's go back. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm the speaker. Day 3, it's 4 o'clock, right? Let's try this one more time. How many of you would like to have complete and total control of your calendar where you can do what you want, when you want, with whom you want, for however long you do it? Say, heck yeah! There we go. All right, perfect, guys. Good. This is going to be a strategic approach to managing your business. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you want to be or are in currently multiple businesses? Let me see hands. Okay. Most of you. Most of you. Probably 80% of the room are in or in multiple businesses. Now, let me point this out to you. For those of you who did not raise your hands, if you're in the rental business and you're trying to grow your rental business, anybody like that? Anybody in business? Okay. I would argue that you're in two different types of businesses. You're in an acquisitions business and you're in a management business. Okay, hear me out if you don't believe me. The reason for that is because they're two different client avatar. And the reason, so think about this. If you're in an property acquisition business and you're doing the acquisitions yourself, the conversation is going to be very different from someone you're trying to buy a property from than from someone who you're trying to rent a property to. Make sense? So your lead generation is going to be different. Guess what? Your sales process is going to be different. Your operation is going to be different. The accounting, if you're doing it at all, is going to be a little different. Okay? Because generally, if you're going to ignore something, what gets ignored? The accounting. Right? So we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. But today what we're going to do is take a strategic approach that you can apply to any business. Any business. Sun Tzu, who was a Chinese general back in 500 BC, I'm getting the Marine up front nodding their head. Look, we learned this stuff from Sun Tzu, who is a strategist. He was a military strategist. He was known for saying tactics before strategy is the noise before defeat. The whole ideology here is that I'm going to be talking more about strategy than tactics. So if you're coming in this room going, yeah, I really want to learn how to get more rent out of my tenants, I'm not that guy. Okay? That's not this class. There are brilliant tacticians out there who can teach you the granular details that I learned from. And their stuff is really good. And I go, man, that was a really good idea. How can I mold that into my existing strategy? How can I mold that into my existing infrastructure? How can I make that stuff work? Right? So I just want to understand that what this is about is this is more of a strategic approach, because at the end of the day, what are we doing this all for? Hopefully to have a little bit better life, maybe have a better impact. You're going to hear me talking a lot about vision today, and vision really is the keyhole that we look through to see our purpose. Vision is the keyhole that we look through to see our purpose. So as we get closer to our vision, and our purpose is this giant gymnasium on the other side of that keyhole, no matter how you orient yourself to your vision, guess what you see? You see a larger purpose as you get a little bit closer, and as you orient yourself and you start to see the purpose of your life because you had a clear vision. Does that make sense? Yes? All right. Now look, I'm going to be honest with you. I am not particularly good at selling stuff from the front of the room. There are those folks who could literally sell voting machines to Castro. I am not that guy, okay? I do have an offer at the end, and I'll talk about it if it makes sense for us to work together, but at the end of the day, I'm a good coach, and I'm a good teacher. And I'm probably not that great at everything that precedes and follow. You can ask my wife about that, okay? But I am a good coach, and I am a great teacher. And that's one of the things I want to do, and I want to teach you some massively actionable things that are translatable to any business. Rebecca, can I get those things passed out for me? So what you're going to get, so this is going to be translatable to any business, no matter what business that you're in, what business you want to be in. We're going to be talking about things that are, they will be somewhat translatable to the rental business, I promise, but they're also going to be translatable to any other business that you might want to be in, and we'll talk about that here in a second. You're going to see this blue scroll. Like I said, as a teacher, I have some handouts, and those handouts are, you're going to see, anytime you see this blue scroll, it's going to be something that you're going to want to write down on the handout that I'm giving to you. So again, like a teacher, now again, there will be a test at the end. There will be no curve. No, I'm kidding. No, honestly, fill it out, don't fill it out, I don't care. But the reason why I'm doing this, do I have any teachers in the room? Do I have any educators in the room? Oh, several. Let's give a round for the educators in the room, please. Absolutely. Thank you so much for doing what it is you do. But the educators in the room will explain to you that there are generally three learning styles, right? There's visual, there's auditory, and there's kinesthetic. And in my household, there was a fourth learning style, which was sarcasm. But we won't talk about that. But in three general learning styles, which are visual, auditory, and kinesthetic, so what I'm doing is I'm handing out. Some of you are going to watch me the entire time, and you're not going to write anything down. Some of you are just going to listen to what it is that I'm doing, what I'm saying, and you're going to really pay attention to the words that I say, and some of you are really going to take a lot of notes. Well, this kinesthetic piece, or this handout here, it really ties into both the visual and the kinesthetic learners that are in the room. So understand, I am serious about teaching you some stuff. I am not that, if you walk out of here and get something that moves the needle for you, then I feel that I've done my job. But I just want to make sure that you understand what this is about. So at the end, we'll talk about what it's like to work together, and we can move on from there. All right, so my approach today is going to be related to an I business, a we business, or a they business. I business, we business, or a they business. So let's talk about what an I business is. An I business is the one-man armies. Where are my one-man armies in here? Let me see hands. Good and high. It's okay. I love you one-man armies. I was a one-man army forever, okay? Quite a few. The I business is a one-man army where basically you are doing everything. You're the chief cook and the bottle washer. You're doing all of the doing that needs to get done. And if you don't do it, guess what? It doesn't get done. So we're going to be talking about, we're going to be talking and directing stuff towards you, the I business. But there's also a we business in here. Let me see my we business. You've got some helpers. A couple of you, all right? So the we business, you've got some help. Now, maybe they're not totally bought into your process. Maybe they're just seeing this as a job, right? And you're kind of going, well, how can I keep them because Wendy's is paying $3 more an hour? Let's be honest. Right? So getting people to show up can be a challenge. So we're going to talk about managing a we business. So then you have a they business. And a they business is where you're managing by metric. And you're getting the managers to report to you. Okay, do I have any they businesses in here so far? No, not too many. All right. That's okay. Because even if you have hired a property manager, guess what? You have a they business, which means you have to manage the manager. They're really, truly, in my heart, I don't believe there's true passive income in this side. You have to still manage your investments, right? So this is what I'm talking about in terms of a they business. The reality is everyone in the room is going to have some variation of the three. I want to make this really clear to you that one is not intrinsically better than another. Can we make that clear, okay? One is not intrinsically better than another. The I business, it's like, well, I'm an I business. Oh, and you're a they business? Wow. I know plenty of they businesses that are a barn fire. They're a mess. And they're spending a lot of time, and they're not getting anywhere closer. They're making a lot of money, maybe, but their life is a mess. So I just don't want to make this clear that one is not intrinsically better than another. It's like, oh, wow, you're a we business? Wow, you must be doing great. Look, I'll be honest with you. I'm a strategic life and business coach. That's what I do. I operate under the banner, the marketing channel landlord coach. But realistically, if someone asked me what it is that I do, I'm a strategic life and business coach. Guess what? For the first 3 or 4 years, I was an I business. And guess what? I loved it. Right now, I'm very much a we business. And do I have any plans to be a they business where I have coaches and that are working under me? And all? No, I don't. I'm the chief cook and bottle washer. And when it comes to actually delivering the operation, I'm the coach. You know why? Because I love it. This is my jam. This is exactly where I'm supposed to be. This is what God made me for right here so I can help you guys get to your vision. Does that sound good? That's what I love. I love what I'm doing right now. This is exactly, if you saw all the crap and all the things that I got wrong up to this point, you'd go, yeah, this is exactly where we're supposed to be. Because you got a lot of people who are terrible at this, and you're way more terrible than them, and you can help them out, right? But I am a great coach and a great teacher, and that's why I love doing this. So I'm just saying this. If you love where you're at, I'm not telling you need to change it. All I want to do is, if you are an I business, I want to help you operate more efficiently. How does that sound? More efficiently. Sounds great? Efficiency is great if you're doing the right things, right? If you're doing the right things. So that means we also, in a we business, we need to focus on being effective. How would you like to have your people doing all of the wrong things really efficiently? That doesn't help you, right? Man, you are really good at parking, like your car, right between the lines. So good, right? But that doesn't matter. Or taking out the trash doesn't matter if they're taking it out 3 times a day. But they have to be effective. So a we business is being more effective. And finally, a they business is what I mentioned earlier, is managing by metric. Managing by metric. Well, that's where you get your managers reporting to you, where you are saying, these are the metrics that are important to me, and these are the sorts of things that I'm going to be measuring. So you have to manage by metric. The type of business that you have is going to be determined by how much energy and time that you allocate to the business. Okay? Specifically, working in the business versus working on the business. Has anybody ever heard this before? Let me see hands. Have you ever heard this before? Okay, Michael Gerber, right? Michael Gerber was Novus. Seen had some heads nod. Heads nod. Yes. Michael Gerber brought this up back in like the 70s when he wrote the 1970s, not 1870s. I'm not that old. The 1970s, and he wrote this book, The E-Myth Revisited, and it was mind-blowing, right? The book is like a bestseller on Jupiter. I mean, everybody loves this book because this concept of working on your business, not working in your business. And that is a concept that we're going to be talking about that's going to evolve you, if you want to evolve, from going from an I business to a we business, or from a we business to a they business. So I'm going to shift gears here for just a second. And I often ask this question of folks up here, you know, what if you woke up tomorrow morning with $25 million in your bank account? Let that sink in for a minute. You woke up tomorrow morning, $25 million in your bank account. Now, I often ask the question is, who in this room wants $1 million? And of course, every hand will go up. And I say, okay, do you really want $1 million, or do you really want to spend $1 million? Two different things, right? That's because having money and making money are two different sets of skills, okay? So what I'm saying here is, if you woke up with $25 million in your bank account and you bought all the crap you wanted to buy, okay? But what would your day-to-day life look like? Now, you're thinking, well, $25 million is not that much. If you're really paying attention, it's really not that much. But what would your day-to-day life look like if you're being honest with yourself? What if your job description wasn't a life description? Now, I travel around quite a bit to different RIA groups and so forth, and I'll mix and mingle in a room. And I'll meet a gentleman, you know, or a gal who says, you know, oh, you know, what are you doing here? Oh, you know, I'm a, you know, they'll ask what it is that I do and I do for money and so forth. Oh, I'm a strategic life and business coach. Like, oh, wow. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm the speaker tonight. I'm operating under a landlord coach. They're like, oh, you're a landlord coach. Oh, wow. Okay, cool. You know, so it's interesting that they will talk about how the job description suddenly becomes a life description. And it's interesting that what I do for money really doesn't have anything to do with who I am, right? So what if for you, your job description didn't have anything to do with what you are? If again, generally when I'm asking people in this context, I'll go up and I'll say, rather than what do you generally say when you meet someone in in a networking situation? What do you generally, what's the dialogue? Oh, what's your name, right? And then, what do you do, right? What do you do? Generally, I'll ask, okay, hi, my name is Mark. We do the name exchange, and they say, okay, cool. What's your name? Angela? Okay. Angela, what is it you keep busy with? Now, when I ask Angela what you keep busy with, now, granted, we're in a business context here, right? It would be weird, maybe, for some to answer it, say, well, I'm a mom, I'm this, I'm that, but really not. It's up to her to answer the question however she wants, right? It's up to her. She doesn't really care. If she's really clear on her vision, she won't really care that she's telling that she's a mom or a teacher or really what an educator, really what doesn't matter, right? But what's the expectation? Is tell me what it is you do. Tell me what you do for money so I know how much to value you, if we're really being honest, right? I'm going to say some things here that might hurt, and I say this with all love truly in my heart. I don't care if it hurts, because the chances is you probably need to hear it. Because there's a lot of people who pulled punches with me way too long, and they should have told me earlier because I was screwing my life up, and I wish they told me. But I wasn't open enough to sit in a room like this because I felt like I already knew it all. So I give you all a tremendous amount of credit. But I want to explain to you why it is I do what I do. And this is really, truly, really hits my heart right in the middle. Back in 2017, my marriage was a complete and total disaster. And there was no reason at all for it to have survived. I mean, let's face it, marriage is just like super easy, right? Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, no, it's not. Marriage is a lot of work, and I'll be honest with you, I wasn't sure that it was worth it. I didn't know that it was, there was no reason for it to survive. Certainly, marriages have ended on a lot less than what we were doing to one another. And I'm not proud of that time, but I will say that one thing I did have through the grace of God was I had the ability to control my calendar. I had time wealth. And if I didn't spend the better part of 3 months pouring into my marriage and pouring into my gal and owning my half of our problems, it never would have changed. Now, the really cool thing is we did survive. Not only did we survive, we thrived. And I've got a 4-week baby at home. Clearly, we're terrible at social distancing. But I got a 4-week-old baby at home, and that is truly, truly amazing. And I say it's no less than the gift of God that we are together. So this is why I do what I do, because I think there's too much being focused on the wrong thing. And as a result, there's too many fights that don't happen. Anybody in here who's married knows what I'm talking about. It's the fight that needs to happen. And when the fight happens, it's done under exhaustion. It's done under duress. And things are said that shouldn't be said. And they're like, man, I can't walk that back. I wish I could. This is why I'm doing this right here. This is why I'm away from my 4-week-old daughter. And I'm in front of you folks because this is so important to me. So, all that to say, this is why I do what I do, because I came to realize that relationships don't automatically take care of themselves. And it really, once I came to that realization, things took off in my marriage, because she understood that the only way that I was getting out of my marriage is if I was dead. And I was serious. And she knew it. So let me talk a little bit about my business. I know this might sound impossible, but I have a 7-figure real estate business, and it only takes me a couple hours a week at the most to operate. And I have very minimal input. I don't have a lot of debt. I know I'm like the freak in the room, because I don't like debt. I really don't. But I understand debt is the tool that it is. I don't need to go through that, but I just don't like a lot of debt. I have very little turnover, and guess what? I get to go live my life. That's the most important thing, right? I get to go live my life on my terms based on what I want. I'm running my race. I'm not running it to impress him or her or you. Now, here's the thing. Now, we're going to get into the meat and potatoes here in just a minute, but I just want to point out that I am not that guy. Again, living my life is really, really important, and I am not that guy that puts up pictures of his kids or anything just to elicit, you know, like warmness from the crowd. Like, I am not that guy. But, oh my gosh, look at that face. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. Face. Grab it. Yeah, she's pretty stinking cute. Thank God she looks like her mom. All right. So that's Liliana Nevea Dolfini. Isn't that great?
poetry.
Reality is, when you don't have control over your calendar, you're forced to accept whatever circumstances or bad luck that shows up in your way, okay? So you have to just make sure that you have control over your calendar. And it was interesting that I talked to a friend of mine who is a very, very high-end fitness coach, very high-end fitness coach. She charges, now listen up, she charges $50,000 for 6 months of coaching, but she delivers. She is very, very good at her job, okay? And here's the interesting thing that she said to me one time. You know, it's really funny that here in America that we have time for, we don't make time for wellness, but we sure make time for illness. Ouch, that kicks right to the shin, doesn't it? So let's get to it, guys. Let's get to it. No theory here. Let's get to it. Talk about the VIP method. We're going to talk about the four core functions of business, and then we're going to talk about the mind field. Let me hear from you guys. What do you think time wealth is? I got some stuff to give away up here. What do you think time wealth is? Okay, what do you think?
An abundance of time available for creativity.
An abundance of time, giveaway for creativity, connection. Okay, I love it. All right. What else? What else? Go ahead.
Being able to do what you want, whatever you feel like doing.
Exactly, what I mentioned earlier, as long as you want, when you want, yes sir?
Make time for yourself.
Make time for yourself, perfect. Go ahead, in the back. Good and loud. Dude, you're a big dude. Come on, project.
Being able to have time for what it is that's important to you.
Okay, have time that's important to you, exactly. Do what it is. There he is, Ethan. New author, by the way. Stand up and give a bow. Take a bow. Right? Brand new author, Ethan Rowland. He's got a book on Amazon. If you don't buy it, you're wrong, okay? You're dead to me. I'm just kidding. No, but seriously, buy his book.
Treehouse.
The Treehouse, yes, Treehouse. So go ahead. What do you think? You can get more money. You can't get more time. You got this from, what, you're 12?
Yes.
12 years old, okay? So listen, you cannot, look, money is replenishable, time is not. And that's what's really, really important as you come into this concept of time being time wealthy. It's interesting, again, whenever I mentioned earlier that I go to these presentations in different RIA groups, and what would happen is I'm having a conversation, and they're like, oh, you're a landlord coach, right? What is it you do, blah, blah, blah. Oh, you're a landlord coach. Oh. Yeah, I really want to get some rental properties, they say. I said, oh, well, what are you trying to accomplish? Well, I really want to get 100 rental properties. By the way, it's always in increments of 25. You tell me why that is. I have no idea. Always in increments of 25. I want 100 rental properties. I said, wow, 100 rental units. Okay. 99 wouldn't do it? Well, no, yeah, I mean, 99, 100's a round number. No, I get 100's a round number. I have a degree in accounting. I get that. But 99 wouldn't do it? Yeah, I suppose 99 would do it. Okay, all right. 97? 97 is a prime number, I think. Would 97 work? Right? And what they'll do is they'll continue on down that way until what they recognize and what they forget, what they don't seem to understand is that they're confusing the number of rental units with the level of life output they think that that's going to buy them. They're confusing the number of rental units with the level of life output they think that that's going to buy them. So if, for example, I said, what is it you're trying to accomplish? And he came back and said, well, I'm really trying to get $27,112 per month, each month, in free cash flow. Has he thought that through?
Oh, yeah.
That might be the payments on a really fancy car, which includes maybe a big house that curves with the earth, maybe if that's what he wants. Or maybe he wants to buy a boat or have experiences or do other stuff, right? Make sense? But the thing is, if he's thought all that through, you know, it might be cool to have a boat. It's not in my vision, but it might be cool to have a boat. But as cool as it is to have a boat, you know, it's not cool to have a boat that sits on a trailer in your driveway. Anybody in here on an HOA board? Anybody? Oh, man. Hold on a second. It's always funny from the front of the room. You guys can't see this. But it's always like the... It's kind of like the hand goes up very sheepishly because I think they're just so used to getting cans thrown at them, okay? So for those of you who are in the HOA board, I feel for you, okay? So, yeah, would you love this guy, an HOA board? Right? Let me ask you something. Where do you think this guy is right now? Working, trying to pay for it, right? Look, at the end of the day, if, you know, I don't care if you're wanting more experiences, to spend more time, maybe it's just to, you know, have more wellness, more time with friends, but whatever it is, maybe it's just not having that god-awful feeling that you get when your cell phone rings. Does anybody experience that? Yep. Maybe you want more time to be a better spouse, be a parent to your kids, be a better friend, have a deeper faith, whatever it is. Let's get to the meat and potatoes in terms of the VIP method. Now, the VIP method picks up where the Burr method leaves off, okay? So does everybody know what the Burr method is?
Yes.
All right, the Burr method. If you are not familiar with the Burr method, this is the Burr method. It is buy. It is regret. It is resolve to do better. It is to retain an attorney and then repent and say, I am never buying another property ever again. Burr method. Okay, that's not the Burr method. That was my Burr method. That's actually more accurate in terms of how it starts, okay? Now, here's what's funny, is that someone's going like, yeah, I went to this guy, and this is what he's teaching is the Burr method, right? So please, people don't know sarcasm. No. Burr method is actually buy, rehab, rent, refinance, and repeat. And generally, if you ever ask this in a room, you get like 7 more R's in there because they throw in other things. But this is the Burr method. But the reality is the Burr method is a good strategy for building a portfolio. Okay? It is, however, it falls short for actually building a business. Brian and Kara Kiefer, they are clients of mine. They actually live in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Anybody here from Fort Wayne? No? So Brian owns a coffee. He started a string of coffee shops called Bon Bon's Coffee. And he came to me and he said, you know, would you be interested in coaching me? And I was like, well, what is it you have? Well, I don't have any real estate. He had a diner and four coffee shops. And I was like, yeah, I can. And he started buying properties using the Burr method, but he had no mechanism in terms of how to manage it. So all of a sudden, he starts learning the VIP method, which you're going to learn about here in a second. And he starts using the VIP method for not only his rental business, but also for his coffee business. And here's a really cool thing, is he started making more money and he started having massively more time on his hands to the point where he felt really guilty because his wife, who, this is Kara, has, she works as a dental hygienist. So she's at work, he's got nothing to do all day because he's got all this time freedom now. So now he's like, well, what's going on? I want to travel more, but I can't because my bride is working at the dentist's office. So guess what? She goes part-time. She goes part-time as a dental hygienist. Now they get to spend more time with Leo and Lucy and Andy Sue, their 3 kids, and she is living her best life. Now as a mom, at that age for kids under 7, to spend an entire summer with them, how do you think that feels? Right? Pretty awesome. So they're living their best life because they get to spend so much time and being intentional with one another and with their kids. So what is the VIP method? So here's the blue scroll, so you're going to have some notes to take. The VIP method stands for vision, infrastructure, and process. Vision, infrastructure, and process. Did you guys get that down? A lot of this is going to follow what I wrote here in this book called The Time Wealthy Investor 2.0. Okay? So most of it in this book is going to be about infrastructure and process. I want to make this point clear. Vision, first and foremost, has absolutely nothing to do with how you make income. It has everything focused on you. Now, let me make this point here. Do I have any distance runners in the room? Any marathon runners? No? All right. Okay. So let me ask you this. What's your name?
Teal.
Yes. Okay. Let me see your name. Teal. Okay, very good. Teal Williams. So would you agree to sign up for a race where there's no established finish line?
Oh, no.
Now, Teal is a fellow jarhead. She's a fellow Marine. So now, it's kind of like you do push-ups until I get tired sort of thing, right?
Right.
But the reality is, if you think about it, how many small business entrepreneurs are out there that are just going to work doing the same exact thing? They're running a race with no established finish line. They think they do, but guess what? They keep moving the goalposts. There's no established finish line. So that's what we're trying to avoid here. So if you think, and again, maybe your vision is to write a book or homeschool your kids, or maybe it's just laying on the beach rubbing cocoa butter in your belly for 2 months out of the year. I don't care. Great vision, terrible visual, but great vision, okay? But the problem is that people often confuse personal vision for business vision. And the reason why I'm saying this, again, think business vision. That's the guy who wants the 100 rental units. Make sense? Does that make sense? Can we see hands? So that's the guy with the 100, yeah, I want 100 rental units. I want to flip 50 houses. I want to wholesale, whatever. Like, that's a business vision. The danger, follow me here, the danger in creating a business vision before creating a personal vision is that you end up creating a life that exists to serve the business. I'm going to say that one more time for my auditory listeners, my auditory learners. The danger in creating a business vision before creating a personal vision is you end up creating a life that exists to serve the business. That's the guy who had the 100 rentals. I'm not saying that business vision is irrelevant. It just can't come first. So business vision, so personal vision really is what you have to focus on so the business vision can deliver that for you. And I know this is a massive mindset shift for people in the room. You're like, yeah, I have created a business vision, then now I am a slave to that business. My life exists to serve my business rather than the other way around. Make sense? I got that wrong for many years. Ask me how I know. Let me ask you, how many of you have worked more than a week than you wanted to, then you had a different choice? Let me see hands, right? That's a perfect example of this. Let me ask you this. If you had things that come up in your personal life, you know, this is the stuff that we're trying to avoid, right? If you had things that came up because you're working your job, right? Let me ask someone else. If you missed something really important in your life because you had to work, anybody there? Right? This is exactly what I'm talking about. Now, that never goes away completely. For some of you in the room, you're working far more hours than you wanted to, than if you had a different choice and how many hours that you would work. Now, I'll be honest with you. This used to run my life. And until I got my personal vision figured out, and this is what we want to fix, right? This is where the personal vision comes in. And now I hear this all the time. But coach, I like to work. Look, in 2017, I told myself the same exact thing, and I was absolutely miserable. You guys know what I went through in 2017. I mentioned this earlier. But in reality, I wasn't working. What was I doing? Say it good and loud. Say it good and loud.
Hiding.
What was I doing? Good and loud.
Hiding.
Some of that is going to resonate with some of you, and if it does, good. Because you're hiding, you're not actually working. You're not addressing the things that really need addressing. You're hiding, you're not actually working. And I'm being honest with you, how many of you, and I'm not looking for hands on this, but how many of you are saying, but I'm doing it all for them? Wow. So you asked them I'm going to work, you know what, sweetheart? I'm going to work 75 hours a week, and you're never going to get to see daddy. Is that cool?
No.
Did you actually ask him that question? Then you're lying. You're doing it for you, and you're hiding, and you need to stop it. I don't mean to sound so harsh, but look, as a coach, sometimes I have to have those conversations, and guess what? It's cost me clients because I've had to have the harsh conversation because guess what? As a coach, what do? My job is to hold you accountable. My job is not to be your buddy. If you end up pissed off at me, holding hands with your significant other, looking off the end of a cruise ship, I've done my job. I'm going, damn that coach. I hate his face. Good. I've done my job. I'm not here for you to like me. I'm here to coach you, and I take that as a very heavy burden. Let's move on to infrastructure. So that's vision. Now, again, just so that we establish how important vision is, yes? Vision's really important. Vision is absolutely critical because, again, it begins with the end in mind. We're not leading with tactics because I could give a really good tactic that's good for you and not good for you. This is why I'm not saying the tactics are irrelevant. They just can't come first. They have to come in the right order. right? You could say, oh, you know what, a really good tactic? You need to go knock on all of your tenants' doors and pick up rent. It's a tactic. I would argue it's a terrible tactic, but it's a tactic. And for you, that might work, and for you, it would not, because it doesn't deliver your vision for you, right? But maybe it would if you're renting to people who are coming out of maybe an abusive situation. So it gives you an opportunity to check in on them, okay? Again, it all depends on the personal vision. So again, in terms of having a vision, now let me ask you this. Having a vision is super critical, where you have a clarity in terms of what it is that you want, when you want to do it, and you have it written down onto one page, and you have it on you and with you right now. Who has that? Okay, a couple of you, and I suspect I know why. Because you've worked on this stuff before. It takes intention, and this is what you've got to need, and this is where you have to work on that, okay? We'll talk a little bit later on how to get that, right? I got a tool in my toolbox for that, but this is really, really critical. All right, we got to move on. Next is infrastructure, okay? So infrastructure is the bones of the business. It's the desks, it's the chairs, it's the property management software system, it's the accounting system, it's the phone system. Now let me ask you this. If you have a phone system that looks like this, guess what? You know, not with my wife's face on it. If you have a phone that looks like this, this is your infrastructure, you have a phone system that looks like this, you no longer get to complain when your residents call you at 3 a.m. Whose fault is that? That's your fault. Because again, you just don't know. Again, do you have a favorite restaurant? Sure, most of us do. Do you know the name and phone number of the person who owns the restaurant? Most of us don't. Why? Because there's no need to, because there's infrastructure, that there's a buffer. There's an emotional buffer between that. So these are the sorts of things when we're talking about infrastructure. I want to make this point clear, is that infrastructure also includes asset class selection. It's another writer downer, there's the blue scroll. Infrastructure also includes asset class selection. I'm going to give a book here. What's asset class selection? What's that mean? What's an asset class? What do you think an asset class is? Good. Even if it's wrong, I'm going to give you a book.
Like single family versus multifamily.
Single family versus multi. Yeah, exactly it. They're very good. Like single family, multifamily. Let's give a hand. Okay, she did not want to answer that question. Yes, exactly. Very good. Very good. You know what? It's really funny because as small business entrepreneurs, how often do we get celebrated? Never. So we need to prop each other up and go, man, that was awesome. So great job. Because you will never get celebrated as a small business entrepreneur. Very rarely happens. But no, it's single family, multifamily, mixed use. It might be mobile home parks. It might be any number of asset classes, like trailer parks, right? Things like that. This is, it also includes your asset class selection. Why is that? Because you have to match your infrastructure to your asset class. Right? It's a little different, even though it looks very much the same. Managing long-term rentals versus short-term rentals or Airbnbs, it's a very different infrastructure. Because it's a very different clientele, you have to manage them differently. Therefore, it takes a different infrastructure. Just like managing commercial, and et cetera, et cetera. Now, some that can be similar enough, but you do require a different infrastructure or different for a different asset class.
Could you repeat that? You have to match your asset class.
You have to match your asset class selection to your infrastructure.
Okay.
Match your asset class selection to your infrastructure. And the reason for that is because they have different needs. They have different needs. Now, sometimes you can get some overlap, but sometimes not. So let's move on. So why does vision come first? Why does vision have to come before infrastructure? Okay, so let's pretend that our vision of laying on the beach rubbing cocoa butter on our belly, okay? If I set up an infrastructure where I have to return emails and phone calls in a timely manner, what's my experience going to be like when I'm trying to lay on the beach rubbing cocoa butter on my belly? Oh, I have to wipe the phone off every time I got the phone's coming in. I got cocoa butter on it again, right? It's going to be terrible. Look, some of you might think it's really cool to work from the beach. I personally think it sucks. I've done it, and it sucks. So what I would suggest is this is why you need to have a vision first, and then we're going to set up an infrastructure that delivers that vision for us. Does that sound good? Yeah. You've got to begin with the end in mind. That's why vision comes first. So this is all part, and again, this is all in the book as well and in the course, but the thing here is that you've got to assemble these folks as your dream team. These are the folks that you're going to want to have, the CPAs, the attorneys, all of these different people. This is what you're going to have as part of your infrastructure to help deliver your vision for you. This is what you need, all right? Now, in this book, from chapter 7 to 14, it describes how to hire these types of individuals. And what's in this book is what got me working from where I'm basically overseeing several hundred rental properties, and I work maybe an hour or two a week. Who wants a copy?
Right here.
Okay, right there. Okay? Absolutely. This stuff right here is really, really powerful, and there's no one right way, but this is the way that I showed it. Let's move on to process. Process is simply how you do stuff. Now, let me ask, where are my military guys and gals in the room? Okay, can I go ahead and have you guys stand up? Stand up, please. Can we honor you, please? Let's give them a round. Personally, from the bottom of my heart, thank each and every one of you for your service. We don't get to honor you enough, and I appreciate you guys allowing us to do that for you today. But the reason I ask for the military guys and gals is because I'm about to say something that they're going to understand. This is your SOP. This is your standard operating procedure. This is the tactical stuff that you're going to learn from other folks, like from the gurus, right? So again, I don't really consider myself a guru, right? But I do consider myself a teacher. But I learn from those guys. I'm like, man, their stuff is pretty freaking good. That was a great idea, right? And I adapt it. And guess what I adapt it to? My processes, which run on what? Infrastructure, which leads me to what? My vision. Now you guys are getting it. Yes. This is exactly what I'm talking about. So process is your SOPs. It's how you do stuff. It's your FAQs, your frequently asked questions. This is what you need to be building out when you're working on your business. This is what you need to be building out when you're working on your business. So again, process is simply how you do stuff. Process is simply how you do stuff. Now, this is really difficult to get traction until you have an infrastructure in place and a vision to where it's going towards. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? You've got to have infrastructure in place, otherwise it's going to be an idea of the week. I'm seeing some heads nod. Yeah, this is. You know what we should try? Let's try this. You know what we should try? Let's try this. And there's no standardization. There's just, well, let's try this, let's try. Well, it's not running on a set infrastructure. This is how you roll this out. Now, I'm going to talk specifically a little bit. I'm going to give you a couple of ideas around how to set up what a process might look like in a property management business. I say property management, and people think, oh, I don't manage for others. No, I'm sorry. You are now, if you own businesses that you manage, you self-manage, you now own a property management business. You manage, especially if you're also trying to grow, because now you also have a property what? Property acquisition business. Thank you, sir. The property acquisition business. Property management business, property acquisition business. You are now the owner of a property management business. Congratulations. And this is what we're going to talk about in terms of how the leasing cycle works. Leasing cycle starts up here at day zero and moves clockwise. So we're going to start up here on day zero to day one. Day zero is when you are making $0. And this is when someone generally hands you keys. It might be at a closing table, it might be in an eviction situation, or it might be just the resident moves out. But you are making $0. Your job is to get from day zero to day one as fast as possible. Okay? We do this using a vacancy checklist. This is not all intensive. I'm going through this for the purpose of academics only. There's going to be more stuff on here, but I'm doing it quickly just to make this relevant to you folks so you can see what a built-out checklist looks like. Make sense? Okay? So let's go through it real fast. So on the vacancy checklist, it starts up here where I have possession received, and I'll put the date on there. Why do I put the date on there? So I know where I'm starting. Very good. Thank you, Victor. The reason why I'm writing this down is because I am tracking how long this sucker is vacant. And it better be, if you can get it down to hours, even better. But how many times I have talked to people who are having trouble managing their own rentals, and guess what's happening? How long have you had that vacant? Oh, not long. 6-7 months. What? Now, again, takes one to know one. I get it. I think I've probably beat that on the bad side. But I'm just saying, if you're not writing that down, how are you ever going to know? What metric, again, we're talking about what kind of business? A they business, where you're managing by metric. So if you're not tracking that metric, you're never going to get to be a they business. Does that make sense? So you've got to know your numbers, and that's one critical number. Forwarding address, keys and remotes. Why do I have remotes up there? Why do you think I have remotes up there?
Make
sure you get them back, right, so no one can get in your house, but... Hold on a second. I tell you what, people ask me for investment advice. I'm very bullish on garage remotes. The price of garage remotes? I'm in the wrong business. I thought I need to be selling garage remotes. Who's bought one lately? How much are they? 40? I've not ever paid 40 for one. For a button remote. You need to buy as many as you can, because usually most of the remotes I'm buying are 70 or 80 bucks, and they are expensive, and that's for one. So if you can find it for 40, okay, buy as many as you can, because I'm telling you what, they have been really expensive. Even 40, to be honest with you, is, in my opinion, salty for what they are. But they're really expensive, so I want to make sure I'm tracking this stuff, and so you can actually get them back.
No, they don't get them.
What's that?
They don't get them.
They don't get the garage remotes? The push button for that? Okay, so they have to get out in the rain? Love you. Love you, man. So make sure you get the garage remotes back if you give them up. The due date for the security deposit. Now, let me ask this, because I often get different answers here, and this is not, please, this is usually enough to start throwing tomatoes. Let me ask you this. In this analogy, resident moves out on the 20th, they give me keys on the 27th, and the lease is up on the 30th, when does the date for the security deposit start? Day of keys, yeah. Yeah, I used to say that too. You know what the answer is? Whatever the judge says. And you're laughing, but am I wrong? No. So you have got to find out. I don't care what the law says. And guess what? Neither do the judges. And I don't mean to sound snarky, but that's the reality. That's the world we live in now. So find out what that, if we're going to election season, right, you get a new judge, you better find out how they're going to enforce that policy, because it's different for every judge and every time the bench changes. Okay? So I just want to make sure I'm not being snarky here, but find out and be well inside that window just so you have an area to play with. The photos, we do a video documentation at every change of possession. Then notice what starts out. Notice what this checklist kicks off. Another what? Checklist. So I'm not going to open up another checklist for academic purposes, but guess what? This kicks off another checklist. All right? I've got a for rent sign, self-showing box. My advertising is initiated. Then I obviously turn on the utilities. Next, my mowing and snow removal on there. I put the snow removal up there for you guys in Arizona. Yes, that is a thing here. We actually have to remove snow. Vendors, the maintenance is coordinated for the turn inspection checklist. I want to make sure that is on there, because then if I open a checklist, I want to make sure that I also know the checklist is closed. Otherwise, you may have a checklist that's open that never gets closed and you never know. Okay? This is how you have what's called a negative feedback loop. I don't have time to get into that. It's not negative feedback like you did terrible. That's negative feedback. No. How do you throw... I'll give you a perfect example. Has anybody ever sent an email to someone, threw that over the fence mentally, and just thought, okay, now I'm waiting for an answer back, and you didn't get the answer back? You did not get the... Right? You need to have a negative feedback loop to make sure, oh, I need to put that on my to-do to check back in with so-and-so. That's a negative feedback loop. This creates a negative feedback loop, okay? The cleaning is ordered. Security deposit is returned. Cleaning is completed and inspected. Property photos are updated to up to date, especially if it's going to be a major turn. And then the photos are uploaded to your property management software system if it's relevant. Okay, if there's material changes. The last pieces here are the property is leased and the move-in date is set. The move-in happens, will actually affect the move-in. That will actually kick off your onboarding process. We're going to talk about onboarding here in a second. The utilities are shut off. Why do I have this up here, by the way? Why do you think I have the utilities shut off?
So
the tenant puts it in their name? Huh. You mean they wouldn't tell you that the utilities are on it? You've been paying the bill for 3 months and you... I am shocked. Who do you rent to, Teal? Of course, that's what happens, right? Also, the mowing and snow removal is canceled. Same reason, right? Oh, thanks so much for mowing my lawn for 6 months. I had no idea. I thought that was just part of the service. Then try to get them to actually do it when you're like, no, you actually were supposed to be paying for this. For rent sign is collected. You know, it's really interesting how many people used to have 2 for rent signs. Now they're down to 1, and they can't figure out where the other one is. Right? This is why it's up there, so you can track that stuff. Advertising is canceled, and the vacancy checklist is then complete. Let's move on from the vacancy checklist. Now you've moved on from vacancy to, which is now from vacancy to occupancy, which is from day 1 to day 7. Day 7 is your onboarding process. So what you're going to do in the onboarding, now generally my onboarding usually goes something like this. I would show up to the property, give them keys, run away, shut off my phone, and change my name, and pray to God they never called. Used to look something like that. Yeah, because this is generally what happens, right? And here's what would happen in reality, okay? You go, you get a call, it's Saturday, weather's gorgeous outside. You're like, I can't wait to sit in my backyard. I've got a cold one already waiting, maybe one in your margarita machine, maybe one in a bottle, whatever your flavor. You're like 5 minutes from home. You're 20 minutes from your rental. You're like, oh, I can't wait. It's just such a gorgeous day. And the phone rings, and Dave could attest to this because this is a conversation he has all the time, because they'll call you and they'll say, Dave, because you're looking at that phone, and this is how the phone call goes. Dave, this is such an amazing property. Thank you so much. Can I please pay you more money? No, that's generally not how it goes. It usually goes something on the other end, and you're going, oh my gosh, how can I salvage this? Like, my husband or spouse or whoever is so upset, they're driving away in the U-Haul, we can't move into this place, it's awful, you suck, I hate your face. Something along those lines, right? This is because we didn't get the onboarding right. Notice what I mentioned in the vacancy checklist is we do a move-in inspection, a video inspection at every change of possession, right? This helps with that. The other thing is on day 3, so they move in on Monday, or they move in on Friday. By Monday, they are getting a call from my office. Again, not me, but someone is giving them a call saying, hey, how did things go? How are you doing? You know, did everything go well? Oh, yeah, this one room's got a funky smell, or that one outlet's not working right, or whatever. Okay, I'll go ahead and enter that as a work order for you. How is everything going with you guys? Oh, not too bad. My husband threw his back out. Oh, really? Does he need a chiropractor? You know, I know someone in the area. Because you guys are from Battle Creek, Michigan, and here we are living in Cincinnati, Ohio. Is there something I can help you with? I've got a referral, or maybe your car's not working, or whatever. Guess what? Then you become an end-to-end solution for your clients. Now you're running this like a business. Now they have reason to want to do business with you. Make sense? Okay, and it's not hard to do, because each one of you probably has an idea in mind, or maybe you get a virtual assistant that can help them out, find somebody, all right? This is something that you do through the onboarding process. And if things don't go super well, you can always kick the can down the road a little further and keep them in the honeypot until things are smoothed over, and then you can just assimilate them back into your business. From day 7, you go to day 30. Day 30 is the first day of the collection cycle. So again, if they have moved in the beginning of the month, generally what they should be doing is, so they moved in the 22nd of the month, what do? They pay the first month's rent up front, and they get the prorated credit on the second month, right? So on the first, they get the prorated credit, okay? So they should be paying this up front. So I don't have time to go into, just the constraint of time, to go into the collections checklist, but it is built out. They know what happens on the third day, the fifth day, the seventh day. So again, my people who are working the vacancy checklist, or you for your one-man armies, there's no question. You don't have to think. You don't have to stop and think, what should I be doing today? It's already been pre-built for you. Wouldn't that be nice that you don't have to think anymore? You just go to the checklist and look, let me see hands, right? Okay, yeah, it's nice. Much nicer, so you don't have to think, well, what day, who am I supposed to be following up with? It's all been systematized, it's all been broken down into your checklists. And you can easily do that with some intention. Let's move on to day 245 checklist. Day 245 checklist. Now again, this is based on a one-year checklist, so these numbers are a little arbitrary. But notice, it's 120 days prior to lease expiration. It's 120 days prior to lease expiration. You're going, coach, that's 4 months. Why am I putting it 4 months in advance? I don't know, because maybe some, you know, idiot trying to manage his own properties forgot to renew the lease, my hand goes up, and now they're in the middle of November, and I'm sitting there trying to renegotiate a lease. Am I negotiating from strength at that point? Not in my market, I'm not. Okay, and I want them to be in a lease as much as I possibly can. Now again, maybe a short-term lease benefits you in your market. I like to keep them in a lease. So that's why I start 4 months out. Again, this is all checklist driven. So 120 days prior to lease expiration, what's the first thing I'm checking? Market analysis. What do you think I'm checking on the market analysis? What do you think I'm checking?
Current rents.
Current rents is one. What else? Current rents, what else? Vacancy, occupancy, okay. What else?
Property
values. Very good, Mario. I usually don't get that very often, but that's exactly what I'm checking. I'm checking market value. Why am I? Yes, I'm checking rents and all those other things, but why am I checking market value? Let me ask you guys: is the 2% rule or 1% rule, is that generally out the window right now?
Yep.
For most markets, it is. The reason for that is because equity has vastly outpaced rents. So what I want to do is I want to stop and think, okay, is this still a good viable option as a rental? Should I shift it? Should I leverage it? Now, it pains me to even say that because I'm a no debt guy. But I don't like debt because I got my butt handed to me back in 08. Makes sense now? Okay. I got beat up pretty bad. So the thing is, if I'm looking at my market value, I'm going to say, is this the best return for my property for the rents that I'm expected to get? Make sense? So that's why I'm doing a market analysis, and I'm doing it systematically every single year, not just, oh yeah, I should probably look at my market values at some point. No, you're doing it systematically, at least once a year. So that's the market analysis. Next is property analysis. You're looking specifically at the property. And this is where you're going to say, is this the best property in the worst neighborhood or the worst property in the best neighborhood? Are they building, are they tearing down stuff left and right and building condos on either side? Make sense? So you can say, what's going on with the property? What else do you think I'm looking at when I'm looking at the property? What else do you think I'm looking at? What's up?
Values
I've done in the market analysis, okay?
Condition,
right? It rhymes with flapex. What is it? Oh, capex, thanks, whoever said it. Yeah, capex. I'm looking at my capital expenditure stuff. Well, do I have to put a roof on this thing? Am I gonna have to put all new windows in this thing? I'm looking at my capital expenditure allocation, which is a mathematic thing, not a 5% of rents thing, by the way. That's a whole other seminar, but do it mathematically. Start to allocate money mathematically in terms of what you think versus the useful life or what stuff is. Make sense? Back into that. It's math. It's really straightforward. So I'm doing a property analysis. Now, during that time, during the property analysis, yes, there is an inspection. And the reason for the inspection is for the resident analysis. Now, in most states, let me back that up. In most free states, you have a choice as to whether you want to renew with someone. I'm sorry, if you are not one of those states, I don't know how to help you on this. Because there are states, and this is why you should be paying attention to the legislative folks out in the hallway, because they will fight for you on stuff like this, because there are states where you don't have a choice whether or not to renew with a resident. Does it sound like crap? It is. So you got to be paying attention legislatively. They will fight for you on your behalf, but because I promise you, it never gets better, it always gets worse. And it starts to creep from the coasts in. So your resident analysis, you're going to look at that resident and say, is this someone I want to continue to do business with? Now guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to charge them a renewal fee. Yep. Why? Because I have costs. I have time in the equation. I'm going to re-underwrite them. I'm not going to maybe ask and pull credit again, but does it make sense for me not to hang my hat on the assumptions that I made 8 months ago? Yeah. Totally, you don't want to make it. You don't want to hang your hat on that, because what if it was a two-income household earner and old boy ran off with the babysitter? What if she ran off with the pool boy? What if they both lost their jobs and now they're making substantially less income and you renew them automatically because they were, air quotes, good tenants? Guess what? If they fail, that's your fault. Don't set them up to fail. Make sure you get back in front of them, re-underwrite them, get a month's worth of pay stubs, and go through that whole process. Charge them a renewal fee, let them know what the renewal is, and then guess what? If they have damage to the property, if they've done $350 worth of damage to carpet in the living room, guess what? They're paying a damage allocation to that carpet now. Why would I do that now? Because I already know the damage is there. Does that make sense? So I'm charging it now. I want to get ahead of it. So the resident analysis, once I assume that they're going to renew, I'll go ahead and send them a renewal. I send them a renewal generally around day 90. Now again, I say I mean the system will, or our folks will. If they have not renewed by day 75, guess what we do? Shoop, we pull back the renewal and we put it on the market. And here's why. I know that sounds really mean, but these people will string you along sometimes saying what? Oh, we're going to build a house. So we're going to not really sure if we want to renew. We're thinking about buying. Anybody ever heard that before? And then they end up staying for 6-7 months and then they move out in December. And how long is a place going to stay open if it, in the Midwest anyway, if it's open in December? Quite a while. So what I'm trying to do is stay out of that. So what I'll do, and I know it sounds, but I want you to guys get out of the idea that you're renting properties, but you're selling time. Once you understand that you're selling time, you're going to understand how quick things need to happen from day zero to day one and how critical it is to keep your vacancies down. So that's the day 245 checklist. From day 245, okay, now, by this time, at day 365, I know if I'm going back to day zero or back to day one. So I know this in advance. I can plan for it. I can be marketing this thing so I can keep this up here, that vacancy down as quick as low as possible. There are other processes that are outside the leasing cycle that I hinted at, but I can't really get to right now. But there's an application cycle, which also has an application checklist. There's a turn cycle, meaning the turn of the property, the turnover of the property, right? You should have a checklist for that. A maintenance cycle, which means that when maintenance work order comes in, how does that work order going go from coming in to being worked to coming back out on the other side where the resident is verified that the work has been done, the work order's been closed, and it's been paid to your vendor or maintenance handyman or whoever it is, okay? How does that work? Even if you're the handyman, that should happen. All right, businesses, that should happen. You should be paying yourself that. Then you've got the accounting cycle. Now, let me ask you this. Do you guys see the value of that in terms of having checklists and so you don't have to think? Yeah? Well, let me see hands. All right? Great. Before checklists, most of my leases started back at day zero. Today, most of mine are renewed at day 365. I'm going to show you some metrics here in a few minutes. And by the way, the biggest expense in this business is vacancy and the turnover that's associated with it. Okay? Look at, there's some pretty seasoned investors in this room. They will tell you that to be true. So let me ask you, how many of you would love to cut your vacancies in half? Let me see hands. Okay, that's most of you. Where residents obviously are going to renew every single year, when this happens, your costs are lower. Your profits are going to be more. You're going to spend a lot less time on your turnovers. That'd be pretty cool. When this happened, I'll tell you, this happened it's a lot easier anyway, when you have checklists to remind you of all the stuff that has to get done. So you don't have to remember, and it happens much faster. This is why, guess what? Airplane pilots still go back to what every single time they fly? They go back to their checklists. and the guys who got thousands and thousands. I have $1,500 and a C-130 as a navigator every single time. Get back in that flight station, we go to the checklist. So this, when this happened for me, I made massively more money and had a lot more time when I started getting in front of my vacancies. Now I want to make sure, this point here, this is especially true for iBusinesses, because until you get this figured out, iBusinesses, you're not going to have the money or the bandwidth to work on your business because you're too busy putting out fires. You're too busy trying to deal with this thing and trying to fill that vacancy. Until you get this right, you're not going to have a whole lot of time and not a lot of excess money. I did this wrong for nearly a decade. So please learn from me. Ask yourself the question of where are you the bottleneck? Now, this is true for I businesses, we businesses, or they businesses, but you have to think, where does information have to flow through you in order for something to happen? So think about this. I know we're starting to boil down more contextually from context down to more granular stuff, but where does information have to flow through you in order for something to happen? If every decision has to flow through you right now as an iBusiness, that's probably true. But you have to start thinking about how can I start to eliminate these things. Now, again, when you're the bottleneck, you have to eliminate the useless stuff that you're currently doing. And this is going to be true if you're an I business, a we business, or a they business. You have to first eliminate the useless stuff you're doing. Now, here's what I'm talking about. And I don't mean to sound rude, but I'll give you an example of how I was doing something really stupid and didn't realize it wasn't in alignment with my vision. So, I had my personal vision, had my business vision, and what the girls in the office were doing, and we were all doing it, is we were filling out birthday cards for the residents. It's a nice gesture, right? Now again, it's like 4 degrees of separation away from the actual business vision, if I'm being honest, right? It's too many degrees of separation away from the final product. So send out birthday cards, and I happened to be in the conference room to overhear a call one day. It was this gal, Stephanie, who was answering the call. She was really good with customers. And I didn't hear the conversation on the other end of the phone, but I'll paraphrase it for you. He said, "Thanks so much for sending out the birthday card. And we're like, "Oh, you're more than welcome." He says, "Yeah, too bad I don't have a refrigerator to put my birthday cake in." We missed it. He called it in 3 weeks ago, and we missed it. What are you going to do at that point? And she came to me, and I said, "We are done with birthday cards." Because it wasn't about the birthday card, was it? No, it was about all the other useless crap that we were doing. Look, at the end of the day, you can't put icing on cake batter. Right? It's not done yet. By a factor of 9 times when surveyed, people were saying, "What do I want a business to do? Do what they say they do, or go the extra mile?" You just do what you said. Go the mile. Don't go the extra mile until you've done the mile. So this is what I'm talking about. You have to eliminate, and this is brutal, guys and gals. All I'm saying is, please, you've got to be brutal, and you can't be brutal if you're not clear on your personal vision or your business vision in terms of what it is you're trying to accomplish. Once you've eliminated all the dross and crap, because again, if you're a wee business, this is really important. Does it make sense for you to pay someone to do something useless? No. Now you're playing with your own dough. So eliminate first. Then you automate. And you automate as much as you possibly can. And the reason why we automate before we delegate is why. Why do you need to automate before you delegate? Automation is what? Cheaper. Who said that? Thank you. And it's also what? It's more consistent. Absolutely. Consistency should be your product. That should be the business you're in is delivering consistency. Delegation is, there's going to be certain things you cannot automate. There's just certain things you can't. But oftentimes I hear people that they try to do the delegation piece first. "Oh, I really just need to get help." Have you eliminated all the useless tasks that you're doing? "Well, coach, those TikTok videos are not going to watch themselves. You know, they really did hard work on those." You know, look, if I'm being candid, every single time I get invited into looking at someone else's operation, either as a consultant or as a coach, I'm like, "Why are you doing this thing? well, it doesn't take up that much time. Maybe not that one thing, but the ideology of that thing plus that thing plus that thing plus that thing, now all of a sudden you're spending half a day on useless tasks that are not moving the needle towards an undefined personal vision. Let's get your vision figured out. Let's get your business vision figured out. Let's put some infrastructure in place. Let's automate. And then let's delegate. And fire all the people that are not doing the job for you. All right. So that's the VIP method. So we got to move on. But let me ask you really honestly, do you see, let me see hands, do you see how the VIP method can be used in other businesses, not just your rental business? Okay? All right. Thank you. This is true in any business. Now, like I mentioned earlier, I'm a strategic life and business coach. Half the people I have, now granted, I made a lot of my money in the real estate business, but I have other businesses, and they have used the VIP method in their other businesses. Let's get to the four core functions of business. The four core functions of business are lead gen, sales, operations, and accounting. Lead gen, sales, operations, and accounting. So let's go through this, and we're going to go through this rather quickly. Now, again, this is also for the I businesses, but again, for those of you who have we businesses trying to transition to they businesses, this is going to be really important for you to understand this. Lead gen, sales, operations, and accounting. Let's start with lead gen. Lead gen, in terms of that, is first and foremost, identifying the ideal client avatar. This is identifying who it is that you want to work with. Now, in the ideal client avatar situation, I know exactly who I want to work with. It's much easier for me to direct my marketing towards one individual. And as a result, I get residents with the least hassle and the lowest amount of drama, all because I have a clear vision even for the people I want to work with. I don't just go out there and buy whatever is for sale. I identify the avatar up front, and I go, yeah, I like working with people who have families that like to live in that school district, for example, rather than just going, well, that's for sale. Let me see if I can rent it. I did that for a really long time. Bought one bedrooms and then four bedrooms. This side of the county, that side of the county. Once I got clear in terms of what that is, it made management much, much easier. I want to be honest with you, though. I didn't always get this right. My average vacancy for a while was over 3 months, and I had over half of my vacancies that turned over every single year. Do you think I made much money? No, I did it. Got it all wrong. Today, people stay over 4 years on average, and my average vacancy is 16 days. Even for my heavy turns, my average vacancy is 16 days because I get in front of that. Let's move on. From lead generation, I want to identify cold, warm, and hot traffic. So I'm going to be speaking to those of you who right now are in a property acquisition business, for those of you who are trying to grow. Cold traffic are just simply problem aware. They're aware they have a problem. They're aware they have a crappy property that keeps getting code violations. Yes? Right? Warm traffic is both problem aware and solution aware. They are aware that there's a solution. Man, I just need to find an investor to buy this piece of junk. Right? Taylor one's going, yep, smells like money. Cold, warm, and hot traffic. Cold traffic is, again, problem aware. Warm traffic is problem aware and solution aware. And hot traffic is problem aware, solution aware, and they are you aware. They are aware of you. They know that what it is that you do. Oh, you buy crappy houses? I have a crappy house. We can make this work. Okay? Now, let me ask this. Where do you think the money is? Hot traffic? Okay, I understand why you answered it that way, but let me point this out. Has anybody ever clicked on one of those silly ads? It's like, 7 ways cucumbers are going to kill you. Oh, crap. I eat cucumbers. Sweetheart, we ate cucumbers last night. 7 ways cucumbers are going to kill you. And I click on the ad, and it's some probiotic thing, right? You're like, damn it, I did it again. I'll buy it anyway, right? Like, that's how it happens, right? But that's what happened is they converted me to cold traffic, to warm traffic. I wasn't even problem aware that I didn't even know there was a problem with cucumbers, right? And then I'm like, they made me problem aware, then they made me solution aware, and then the way they did, they made me aware. Conversion of cold traffic is where the money is. Most people think it's in hot traffic. It's actually in cold traffic. So learn. I'm going to show you how to identify how to get these folks to identify you as the answer to their cold, warm, and hot traffic problems. So there's the 10 reasons why people buy. That buy is on your list. Go ahead and fill that out. So the 10 reasons why people buy. They are to make money, save time, avoid effort, escape pain. Make money, save time, avoid effort, escape pain. Those first five are on every commercial you have ever seen in some form or fashion, generally. Not all of them. Some of them don't fit naturally, but most of them will. And if they hit you really hard in the first five, they have to hit you hard on one of the first five at least, because the second five are definitely secondary but also important, which is more comfort, better health, feel more love, gain praise, and increase your status. If you can do this, now here's one of the things I'm going to tell you really fast. If you get 10 pieces of paper and write down all the reasons in terms of each one of these, so on one piece of paper, make money. What are all the reasons I help people make money? Whatever it is, especially in the acquisition business. Okay? Second piece of paper, save money. Write all the reasons you help them save money. Just no wrong answer. Just spit it out, because somewhere when you're in your alpha state, theta state, half sleeping, driving, daydreaming, when your ideas come, or you're in the shower, you're like, oh, wait a minute, I came up with an idea, right? Access that. That's how I help them save money. Save time, avoid effort, escape pain, more comfort, better health, et cetera, et cetera, right? Get those ideas down, because what are better health? Could you provide better health for people, for you taking property off of someone else's hands? Oh, you're living in a moldy house? Yeah, I can help you. Oh, you'd like less stress in your life? Yeah, I can help you. Make sense? The better you can get with this is in terms of how you operate your lead gen. Now, I'm talking about this in terms in the context because I want you to start expanding your mind in terms of how you can operate this in any business. This right here, this is Aaron Mills, and one of the reasons I put him up here is because he had no idea. He's a fractional CFO, which means he provides CFO-level services for mid-level contractors, $10 to $30 million contractors. He was not clear on his avatar. He was not clear on his offer. He had no idea in terms of how he helped people make money, save time, or whatever. We went through this exercise. 7 weeks after we went through the exercise, he signed his first client for a $50,000 buy-in and $5,000 a month. Within 1 week, he signed a second one. I checked in with him last week. He signed his seventh one for $50,000 and $5,000 a month. Okay? It's because he got super clear in terms of who it is he's trying to work with. This isn't just hocus pocus. This actually makes a big difference. Let's talk about sales. In terms of sales, in terms of setting this up, in terms of four core functions of business, you're generally going to have a setter and a closer. The setter is the person who takes the call. They say, oh, you've got this kind of house. This actually kind of works. Then you have a closer. The closer is generally going to be someone who's going to find a way to say, okay, could we make a deal here? That's generally how this operates. They understand, again, the person who runs this side of the business, they also understand the six principles of persuasion. The six principles of persuasion are reciprocity, commitment and consistency, social proof, liking, authority, and scarcity. Reciprocity, commitment and consistency, social proof, liking, authority, and scarcity. Why is that important? First of all, let's go through these really quickly. Reciprocity, that means if I give you something of value, you're going to want to give me something of a perceived value. You give me your email, I'll give you a white paper. Anybody ever done that sort of thing? Commitment and consistency. If I make a small commitment, as human beings, we like consistency. We like to remain consistent, okay? So we do these small things. Now, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I signed up for an email list. Then all of a sudden, I signed up for a $50 program. And then how did I end up paying $50,000 for this? How did we get here? Right? Anybody have a question like that? Right? Commitment and consistency. This, by the way, is also why single females do not like guys buying them drinks. Because they're like, ugh, I'm going to have to talk to them. And then I just... somehow I'm going to wind up in the trunk of a car. I don't want to do this, right? Like, can I just buy my own drinks, right? I'm seeing a lot of females going, yeah, that's kind of right. Social proof. Social proof is lacking any outside, this is why testimonials are so important, because you see other people, absent of any other information, what are they doing? What is the crowd doing? Okay, this is really important for social proof. Liking is, are these people like me? think of toothpaste commercials. Oh, they're of my age group. I can identify with them, right? Authority. Does this person have authority in terms of what they're speaking about? And then, of course, scarcity. And scarcity cannot be fake scarcity. You say, look, I'm going to make this offer to you. It's $170,000, but I'm just letting you know I've got three other offers and not all the money. If I walk out that door, I'm just letting you know, you call me tomorrow, I might not be able to make that offer work. That is real scarcity. Think about it, how it backfires. Do you ever see that commercial that says, oh, first 10 callers get a free whatever? 9 months later, first 10 callers get a free whatever. Really? I literally want to call 10 times so you can send me those things and take your stupid commercial down. They're lying, faker. All right. Let's wrap up four core functions so you understand is if you're going to get stuck, and I can't really get into the operational function too much because all of your operations are slightly different, but if you're going to get stuck, you're going to get stuck in the operations in the form of a job. If you're a roofer, guess what? If you're in the roofing business, you end up being a roofer. If you're a plumber, you end up being a plumber, right? This is what ends up happening. You end up getting stuck in the operations. If you're going to ignore something, generally you're going to ignore the accounting. And as much as it pains me to say this, as I have a degree in accounting, what ends up happening is you generally say, well, I've got more money in the bank account this month than last month. I must be doing okay. And no, I have not read any of your diaries. I'm not going to ask anybody to raise their hand, but I'm seeing a lot of people going, yep, I agree. That one's a kick right to the knee. But let me ask you something. Are all of these the same skill set? Everything that I laid out here in terms of lead generation and the understanding of six principles of persuasion, are all of these the same skill set? No. This is why solopreneurs struggle. This is why the solo person struggles and ignores the accounting. You can't do all of these things, and not at a high level. That's where I made the mistake. Because especially for those of you who are really smart, and I've talked to many of you, you're smart folks. That's your problem. You're too damn smart. Give yourself permission to go, look, I know I'm smart. I'm going to turn this over to someone that's not as smart as me on that, or smarter than me on that. Either way, turn it over to someone that's more capable than you. Okay? I hear this question. Hey, coach, when am I going to find time to work on my business? Look, if you have an business, I would say this is ideal to start out with. 90-10. 90 working on your business, 10 in your business. If you're working a 10-hour day, and most of you are like, man, I would love to work that little. Many of you are working a 10-hour day. That's an hour. Maybe just carve it down to 5%. Say, look, 30 minutes, or maybe I watch a 30-minute infrastructure video or process, and the next day I implement it. Could you do that? Could you make that commitment right now to do that? Let me see hands. Look, I'm going to be a coach right now. Hold on, put your hands down. I'm going to be a coach right now. I'm going to be holding you accountable. Will you commit to at least setting aside 30 minutes a day to doing that? Can you do that? Yes? Not seeing all the hands. Okay? And that's okay. And here's why that's okay. Because some of you are not ready to be held accountable. Look, accountability sucks. It's hard. It really is hard. I get it, and it's not ready. We're not ready for it. You're ready for it when you're ready for it. A we business, I would love to see you 50-50 in and on. And a they business, 10-90. 10 in your business, 90 on your business. This would be the ideal allocations so you can continue to build out your infrastructure working in your business, not on your business. We're going to finish this up real quick, and we're going to talk about the minefield. And this is the last thing here. The best systems aren't going to matter if you're engaging in self-sabotaging behavior. It won't matter. It won't matter. Now, what I'm about to share with you is confession, not judgment. So please don't take this personally. However, if it rattles some of your cages, you may want to consider why. Procrastination. Anybody engage in procrastination? I did. Still do. Seeking perfection. Well, as soon as that thing is done, man, I see hands. Doing the unnecessary. Well, once I organize my email contacts, then I'll go ahead and start on those sales calls. Then I'll do the important work. Hiding. Hiding in activity. Super busy. Not really productive. What about hiding in inactivity? Right? This is where you've got, you know, you're doing so many things, but hiding in activity, you've got so many things to start, you don't even know what to start on. Anybody got that list of 95 things? You're like, yep, I'm going to do them all today. Brush teeth. Check. One's down. 94 to go. Lying to yourself, that's where you're being too And just, you're really not being honest with yourself, setting impossible standards. Again, if your house is a mess, that's on you. If your bank account is a mess, that's on you. If your relationships, if they're a mess, that's on you. Not finishing things. I was a king of starting things and not finishing things. I'm not going to ask for volunteers on that one. Allowing distractions to exist in your life. Again, TikTok videos are not going to watch themselves. Right? Accepting a lower standard in your life. Not rewarding yourself. Not allowing downtime. A fear of failure, a fear of success. Let me hit that real fast. A fear of failure is really about a fear of criticism, if you think about it. Fear of success is actually a fear of loss. It's easier to never have something than to have it and lose it. Fear of success. Ask me how I know. False arrogance. Everything's great. Dude, your house is on fire. No, it's not. Rescuing other people. Why is it easier to rescue other people? This is one that hurt me in the middle. Because you're a mess? Let me fix you. Because guess what? I don't have to fix. Or, let me fix you so you'll like me, because I had such low self-esteem. Again, confession, folks, not judgment. Complaining, do you ever notice you complain to the wrong person? You go do your job and complain about your spouse, and then go to your spouse and complain about your job, right? Complaining to the wrong people, thinking that I've arrived, I don't ever have to learn or do anything else. Gossiping or comparing to other people, tearing yourself down, being late all the time, flying by the seat of your pants, not following through on commitments, having a poor relationship with money, and about 12,000 other things that are that take away from the compounding effect of effort, where you're doing too many. Yeah, it's great to do the right things, but you have to also avoid doing the wrong things. It's like putting water in your gas tank, okay? First of all, what to do with this? This is habit awareness, okay? So I want you to watch me, and then you're going to do it with me, okay? We cannot change habits that we're not aware of, all right? And habits amount to about 40% of what it is that we do. So what I want you to do is I just want you to watch me first. I'm going to have you stand up. So I want you to go like this, okay? All right? I draw like this. Actually, you can do it sitting down. That's fine. So watch me. So just watch. Now what I'm going to have you do is when I say go, don't go yet, don't go yet. But when I say go, what you're going to do is you're going to chop one hand down into the other. Ready? Okay, ready? And go. Chop one hand into the other. Okay. Generally, most of you just told me what your dominant hand is. Because you generally chop with your dominant hand. Right? That's how people knew, the body language experts knew, that Bill Clinton was lying when he did not have sexual relations with that woman. Because he wagged his right finger, not his left finger. And Bill Clinton is a southpaw. Bill's got something to tell. That's how they knew. You generally do this. You chop with your dominant hand. Why is that important? Because, again, you tie your left shoe versus your right shoe. I can't tell you why. It doesn't really matter why. But the thing is, habits are not just the things that we do. They're also the ways that we think. So if any of those things resonated with you, you may be in a habit of thinking that way. I'm going to show you how to change that. So first and foremost, we'll get to that, but also having a clear vision also helps fix this. Now let me just make this point here, is that in order to fix this, having a clear vision, you know where you're going to go. Now let me just point this out. I have some tools in my toolbox on how to help fix this stuff. Every single person that I described earlier came to me who struggled first with getting a clear personal vision. They had struggled with that. Often the ones who thought they were clear were reciting a business vision. So no matter if they have an I business, a we business, or a they business, okay, it doesn't matter what kind of business that you have, what I can provide for you, again, this is the tool in my toolbox. I'm just driving down the highway, I want to share a tool in my toolbox, you're broken down, I want to share the tool in my toolbox. That's all this is you'll get immediate access to an online vision course to get your personal vision clear, all right, which includes a vision roadmap. And this is going to get your personal vision ironed out and written down to one page so you can have it on you and with you at all times. So this is the personal vision roadmap. You'll have all of these videos. This is also part of the program, Become a VIP in the Rental Business. So all of this here is part of the vision piece up here, the infrastructure piece here. This is up the process part here. I'm almost done, guys. This is going to be the landlord cycle here. So this is the infrastructure piece here, the process piece here, and this also comes with the download library. Remember the checklists and forms and all that stuff? I've got that all built out and editable for your program. The other thing for you guys who have buy and hold investments, you're going to get the $1 million lease, which you can take pieces of it, add to it, take from it, whatever you want, and that is all part of the Time Wealthy Investor, okay? Then you're also going to get a copy of this book. Now, let me ask you, could you budget 20 minutes a day to working on your business? You already agreed. Some of you say, yeah, I can do this. Look, it's a lot of material, but you can do this. It's not hard. So when are you going to have time? You already described the time allocation. So the retail price on my website is $24.97. Now, we all know how this works. Okay, wink, wink, nod, nod. We all know how this works. But know that it really is the price on my website. But you're not going to get you're going to get more for less. So that's where the reprogramming comes in. Every single one of my clients didn't get traction until they got their mindset right. You might be thinking, whoa, coach, my mindset is good, but, you know, I want to know where to go. I know my vision, right? Well, if any one of you who heard that self-sabotaging behavior earlier, if any of that resonated with you, you've probably got some limiting beliefs that are tied to self-sabotaging behaviors. Okay? So how do I do this? So I have a masterclass series. I have a vision masterclass, a wealth machine, a managed by metric, for those of you who are having trouble with management, a leadership course, a warrior code course, and also Wellness Academy. These I teach online. I teach live online every once Saturday out of the month. You pay this, you never pay another nickel. You got lifetime access to these masterclass series. How much? Lifetime? Yes? Can you say lifetime?
Lifetime.
Lifetime. Forever. Never pay another nickel. Okay? So you get access to that all the time. Ongoing access to all the virtual events, and then finally accountability. Look, the last piece I'm going to leave you with is to get a coach, even if it's not me. They must be able to hold you accountable. Look, there's a lot of folks out there who are they're calling themselves coaches, but they don't hold people accountable. I'm sorry, don't call yourself a coach then. Call yourself a teacher, call yourself a guru, but don't call yourself a coach. I know you sound scary, but if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, it's going to go a lot faster if you have a coach that can help you. And as a good coach, it's not about information as much as it is about transformation. So I'm going to offer you a 90-day transformation challenge. Here's what I want. I want you to be interested less about information and more about transformation. Of course, information is a necessary component. Okay, it's a necessary ingredient, but it's not the only ingredient. Just like baking a cake, you can't have just sugar or just flour. So your main ingredients are obviously going to include information plus integration, but what do you need to bake a cake? You need heat. And the heat comes in the form of accountability, which is what I do with one-to-one coaching. So the recipe of information, integration, coaching to prevent stagnation, to keep you moving forward, that's what's going to lead to the transformation that you're wanting. So you're not having the same conversation this time next year saying, you know what, this year is going to be different. It gets to be different. So here's everything that I'm going to offer. You get the Become a VIP in the Rental Business online program, and I can get you access to that tonight. That's the entire program, which includes vision, infrastructure, and process. You get the Masterclass Learning Series, which is ongoing access on Saturdays. You get the ongoing access to a Facebook community. Weekly group check-in calls, which will start on November 14th. That goes for 90 days. You have ongoing monthly calls with the entire community. That's once a month. And here's the thing. You get unlimited one-to-one coaching. That one-to-one coaching, I have to limit this to 19 students because the 19 students, I've already had several people sign up. I'm limited in my time. So the conference price is not $24.97, not $19.97, it's $14.97, where you can work on your business, not in your business. Don't let the search for information become another form of procrastination. Right back there, go ahead, wave your arm, please. Good and high, Rebecca, thank you. Okay, right back there, they can help you get signed up right now. Now is the time to make the rest of your life the best of your life. Please go sign up now. Thank you for spending your afternoon in this very hot room. Have a good